We've seen that a well-thought-out automation plan can reduce the cost or demand for manpower. Many health systems get excited about the thought of being just like an Amazon fulfillment center with full automation, including automated guided vehicles, autonomous mobile robots, scanning systems for sorting, automated storage and retrieval systems. Properly planned, some level of automation can improve productivity, reduce errors, increase quality, and create more reliability to the facilities they serve.
I'm Adam Bolka, and this is the Great Supply Chain Podcast. I'll be talking to supply chain experts from around the world, experts who are tackling challenges in their corner of the industry. People are change makers that drive innovation. That's why this supply chain podcast is about learning from those who lead by example. I hope that the conversations you hear will inspire you to drive change within your organization. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Great Supply Chain Podcast. I'm Adam Polka, your host, and I'm excited to be joined by my co-host, the ever-insightful Corey Turner. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Matt Stewart, the CEO and managing partner at RiseNow. Matt has a lot of experience in warehouse optimization in the healthcare industry, and so we're thrilled to have him share his expertise with us today. In healthcare supply chains, warehouses are the lifeline that keeps everything moving smoothly. They play a critical role in ensuring delivery of medical supplies and pharmaceuticals, maintaining proper inventory levels, and ultimately ensuring that patients receive the care they need. But supporting those critical operations can be complex and challenging, especially under constant pressure to reduce costs and increase efficiency. That's why today's conversation is so important. We'll be diving into the best practices for healthcare warehouse optimization, looking at inventory management, space utilization, and how tech can play a key role. Matt will be sharing some real-life examples that can help healthcare supply chain managers and logistics professionals map out their optimization strategies. So without further ado, let's jump in. Corey, over to you.
So thanks for joining me today, Matt. And before we dive into our conversation, can you please introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about RiseNow?
Absolutely. Corey, thanks for having me. What is now RiseNow actually came out of an organization that was founded back in the late 90s. A couple of folks from Ernst & Young and Accenture came together. They felt they could do projects in half the time for half the money as our big four competitors. And they accomplished this by putting more seasoned, more experienced consultants on our projects. You know, versus those that were kind of fresh out of MBA school with little to no real world experience, we're basically learning on the job at our clients' expense. And we began as a PeopleSoft boutique implementation firm, utilizing folks with tremendous amount of experience, and then evolved into specializing in procurement and supply chain digital transformations with most of the leading platforms in the space. We become experts at identifying red flags that cause projects to fail, and take the time to teach our clients how to fish so they don't have to become dependent on us or any other third party. Now in 2011, and a lot of our conversation today is based on, we started our healthcare supply chain practice. And over the last 11 years, we've learned just how different healthcare can be. And we've established ourselves as a go-to implementation partner for Texas and other best-of-breed solutions for healthcare. And our team specializes in like WMS, DMS, you know, demand planning, forecasting, point of use. We're also very good at master data management, spend analytics, sourcing, contracting, supplier management, supplier risk. We get into diversity, ESG, very popular right now, and procurement, invoicing, expense management, and payments. And some of our clients in healthcare include Kaiser Permanente, Common Spirit, Advent Health, UNC Health, UC Health, and many more. And in addition to our focus on digitally transforming healthcare supply chains, you know, we've also helped 40 health systems at differing points along their journey as they address and assess whether it makes sense to move to a self-distribution model. And our team were actually innovators in this space almost 20 years ago with the first implementations like Iowa Health and Shands at Florida State, and have been helping others along this journey ever since.
That's great, Matt. I'm looking forward to the conversation today with the experience level at RiseNow. So this is going to be really good. So let's jump right in. So tell us, what are some of the things you're seeing in the market in terms of warehouse optimization, especially in the healthcare market?
Great question. With all the challenges that we're seeing today and like securing a stable workforce, we're seeing more of our clients pursuing optimization and technology as solutions to manpower shortages and what we're seeing as high turnover. Historically, if you think about it, you know, lower labor cost would make it more difficult to justify the cost of bringing in new technology. But if you think Amazon's and Walmart's and you know these mega distribution centers, they've consumed a significant percentage of the labor force that you would normally seek for these types of jobs. And that's who we're competing with now. And they pushed the minimum competitive hourly rates up to around $15 an hour. But with the current labor shortages, we're now seeing this increase to 17 and even higher in some areas. So at the same time, we're seeing the cost of automation actually come down. So with automation and warehouse optimization efforts, we're seeing the expected reduction in the number of employees needed. But more importantly, it diversifies the skill sets needed to run the operations of a distribution center. This new cost baseline has dramatically shortened the return on investment of optimization initiatives that would have otherwise not been a focus in years past of many of the C-suites in our client organizations.
So Matt, with concerns about outdated warehouses, do you believe introducing a new warehouse design could remedy growing problems such as cost and labor shortages like you mentioned?
Yes, absolutely. We've seen intelligently designed facilities produce well beyond their expected life. The best of these designs have living, evolving controls built into them that allows for the efficiency to persist through the changing demands of the operation and its customer base. The best of these have strong technologies and partners to navigate through these challenges and changes because these operations do not share the same cost and labor issues as others in the industry, but become the case study that tells us that good optimization is indeed one of the keys to resolving cost and labor issues.
Could you give us a specific example of that?
Yeah, of course. So a great example is like a really good slotting program, right? It's not too heavy on automation. It's got a lower cost of entry. You can incorporate a slotting program for roughly $40,000 capital investment on the front end and maintenance costs of like $4,000 ongoing. Including the labor to maintain the program per year. We worked with a facility where 60% of the volume was produced out of the low unit of measure area, and the initial slotting project increased the productivity in that zone by 31%. So by the end of the initial six-month project, not only did they cut into the labor requirement, but they also cut out the premium cost of the overtime labor for that area. For that facility, we saw the return on investment quickly. But imagine with increased labor costs today, how that would calculate. In short, that same project today would have an ROI in half to two-thirds the time because the cost of the technology has not changed. In fact, may have even gone down a little bit. Now, their ongoing maintenance allows them to keep these productivity gains as well as recognize opportunities for continuous improvement. You know, lack of ongoing maintenance is like a slow burning fire, or you could say maybe a death by 1,000 paper cuts. You don't recognize how bad it is until one day you look up and realize your operation is twice as slow and even more inefficient.
Right. And we all know that, you know, a warehouse redesign project can bring in a lot of new components, including automation like you were speaking to. So how does automation fit into the healthcare supply chain? Now, we see that a lot in other industries. We see automation flourishing. So what about the healthcare supply chain?
Well, we've seen that a well-thought-out automation plan can reduce the cost or demand for manpower. Many health systems get excited about the thought of being just like an Amazon fulfillment center with full automation, including automated guided vehicles, autonomous mobile robots, scanning systems for sorting, automated storage and retrieval systems. However, each health system should quantitatively evaluate what level of automation makes sense for them. Properly planned, some level of automation can improve productivity, reduce errors, increase quality, and create more reliability to the facilities they serve. But unfortunately, for our IDN customers, the initial capital investment combined with the cost center-based distribution center model has traditionally created an elongated ROI that just hasn't been appetizing. So as mentioned before, we're seeing these costs come down and this shift is making these more justifiable to our clients. But, and of course, you need a warehouse system that can integrate with these solutions to ensure that results are maximized. Finding the best solution for you and your organization helps ensure a whole series of disciplines. And these disciplines allow you to move forward and stay dynamic with the SKU complexity that healthcare offers, increased service level expectations, and the ever-changing labor shortages, turnover that we've already talked about. And this further cements that you can overcome a physical facility that's dated with the right level of optimization, automation, and initiatives.
So Matt, you and I both know that historically, healthcare has been slow to adopt the latest trends, you know, whether it be automation, whether it be new technology, or whatever the case may be. So realistically, you know, in the next 5 years, over the next 5 years, what does it look like to you when you're talking about warehousing trends in healthcare?
Well, as when I talk to my team and we think about history, right? History is a great indicator of future. And if you think about it, you know, COVID is not the last pandemic. And every 2 years you can expect, or every 2 to 3 years you can expect, you know, some major supply chain disruption. You know, before this pandemic, right, supply chains had to deal with other traumas. You know, there was Ebola, there was H1N1, and, you know, all these crises, you know, created supply chain panics, shutdowns, recalls, right? You know, in 2017, several healthcare manufacturing facilities in Puerto Rico were devastated by Hurricane Maria. Yeah. So this crisis alone took years to recover from, right? So our current pandemic was so disruptive that, you know, we're now hearing for the first time from healthcare CEOs who typically were never part of the conversation seeking solutions to mitigate this type of risk in the future. That's where the CSC model, you know, has been very effective. You know, as a result, several IDNs are looking for help in assessing their organization's readiness and to develop a business case and pro forma to support their requirements. And we expect in the next 5 years, most billion-dollar revenue health systems and larger will move to some form of self-distribution or CSC and will bring the technology to support it.
You and your team are, you know, traveling across the country, speaking with supply chain executives. If you have this audience with you right now and you're speaking to the supply chain executives in our IDN space, what's one piece of advice that you can give to these health systems that really want to improve their supply chain operations, the technology, you know, whether it be hardware or software, how can they leverage that and really take it to the next level?
Well, one key piece of advice that we can give is start changing your definition of ERP. Other industries have already come to the conclusion that some of the top health systems are now only beginning to realize. And that is to stop looking first to the ERP providers for everything supply chain. The old adage, if our ERP provider does it, we're going to go to them over a best-in-class platform that specializes, is setting many health systems back years. And it's making it even harder for them to be agile in times like this. Now, ERPs have their place, don't get me wrong, right? But organizations that know the sweet spot of what ERP does best, while also knowing what best-in-class solutions are out there that make their ERP perform even better, are much more successful in the end. And especially with some of these cloud ERPs, they're still figuring out supply chain and are years away from having a complete end-to-end solution. If you think about it, most ERPs were built for the back office. They're not built for the end user, Corey. Which makes it really hard to achieve the adoption and efficiencies that at least my clients expect. So that's where we see best-in-class solutions that were built with the end user and supplier in mind are having a lot of success.
Well, this is great conversation that we're having, Matt. But, you know, as we're drawing to a close here, you mentioned a departure from organizations going, you know, all in with their ERP systems. Which areas outside the ERP are you seeing health systems looking for these kind of solutions?
Yeah, the first area for health systems that have a CSC or self-distributing warehouses, they're looking outside of the ERP for warehouse management, you know, distribution management, demand planning, forecasting. And then I see them wanting more control and insight into not only their warehouse, but through to the point of consumption with point of use. And like I mentioned previously, you know, ERPs do certain things well, but inventory management inside of an ERP is limited, and it's just not very sophisticated. And they're not known to be very efficient, and they lack the means to manage productivity. especially to the level of what best-in-class solutions are providing today. And another area we see is source-to-contract and supplier management. As more and more health systems migrate to self-distribution or to a CSE model, the desire for self-contracting and direct relationships with manufacturers have become paramount. These tools are a must, and solutions that specialize in this area and have perfected the supplier experience are performing much better. In fact, I was reading from Gartner. They're predicting that over the next 5 years, that 87% of organizations will look outside of their ERP for source to contract. Or other areas are like an Amazon-like shopping experience, right? Master data management, virtual item masters, EDI, e-invoicing, expense management, contingent labor, construction, and now even payments. So you can see, looking first to the ERP for everything supply chain is a thing of the past, and many of these have already departed. And especially if you're looking for fast time to value, lower total cost of ownership, and an overall better end user experience. If you think about it, Corey, this isn't a new phenomenon. CRM used to be a part of the ERP until Salesforce disrupted that space. It's no longer even considered ERP anymore due to Salesforce, but it technically is. It's just integrated now to the core ERP. Human capital management started in ERP, but due to Workday, many organizations have gone best of breed and are integrating Workday into their general ledger. They're now considered an ERP, but they didn't start as an ERP. Instead, as a best-in-class solution for human capital management. And it's my belief, Corey, that it's time for supply chain to start demanding more and following what other departments have done to improve their parts of the organization by putting the end user and their business case and business objectives ahead of an ERP agenda.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt. We're seeing a lot of that in the customers and the people that we're talking to in the industry today that are really wanting to get the most out of all their systems. And they're seeing that, you know, the ERP, the EMR, and the supply chain, you know, they run better in their lanes and holding hands along the way. So they're stronger together and not segregating one to, itself.
Well, on that final note, Corey, thank you so much for this wonderful interview. We're out of time for today's episode. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing your valuable insights on warehouse optimization within the healthcare industry. Your time and expertise is much appreciated. This has been the Great Supply Chain Podcast. I'm Adam Polka. Thanks for tuning in. Well, that's it for this episode, folks. I hope our guests sparked some new ideas and inspired you to push the boundaries of supply chain. New podcasts will be published on the first of every month. In the meantime, please reach out with your thoughts or questions or even an idea for a future episode. You can email us at texaspodcast@texas.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get notified as soon as a new episode goes live. And please share it with a colleague and leave a review. Until then, this has been the Great Supply Chain Podcast. I'm Adam Polka, and thank you for tuning in.